to the cloud. Okay, I'm showing. Oh, 44, one more minute. We can start. In a moment.
Okay. 15 more seconds.
Oh, no. I'm right there.
Whoops. You might have someone bust through the door.
Good afternoon.
Give you the countdown. This is what I do on the bus every morning while we wait in here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's time.
Oh. Yep, it is. Are we good? We're good. Okay. We'll call the meeting to order at 5:45. And roll call. Sean Yeesey.
Here.
Will McCulminick here. Stacy Kirkland. Here. Okay, the stand for the pledge. Does everyone have access to a flag or do you need me to put it up? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so item 3 on the agenda is the election of the governing board of officers. Due to resignations, we've had 2 resignations, so we need to elect president, vice president, and clerk.
So I want to make a suggestion.
Okay.
That we get a motion for a slate of candidates in a second and then take the vote on that slate instead of doing them one at
each time. Okay, perfect.
And I want you to know that Stacy has volunteered to be the clerk.
Okay.
Wilma said that she would arm wrestle Sean for president.
I'll let you win.
And then Sean, would you do the vice president role?
Yes.
So someone would need to make a motion for that slate. Wilma as the president, Sean as the vice president, and Stacy as the clerk.
I move to approve as stated.
I second.
Okay.
By roll call.
All in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Will? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Approval of the agenda. You get a motion to approve the agenda.
Me to approve.
Sean, Stacy, all in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Okay, item 5, the consent agenda.
Move to approve.
I'll second. Do we have to? I guess we do.
Always by roll.
Approve the consent agenda by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
H, the quarterly complaint summary.
Actually, that's part of the.
Oh, that's an H. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So we did this part. Public comments. Is there public at any location? Nope. Okay. No comments.
Stephanie, did you have something you wanted to?
Reports. Do any of the board members have reports?
I'd like to know what the hell happened to our president. That's my report.
Yep. She had some serious issues at work that was affecting health, and
that's what.
The only other thing I can say is we need to fill those 2 seats.
We need to fill those 2 seats. So hang on, let me.
Stand by, technical difficulty.
Yes, technical difficulty. Sorry, I unplugged and everything went away. Sorry about that. Everyone's back to hearing?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What about Thompson?
Well, they have the issue where it's picking up the TV.
Oh, okay.
Volume, and it's facing the TV thinking that's the speaker.
Okay. So no board member reports? Nope.
It's
picking
up the window.
Yeah, it's by the window.
Executive director report, Sherry.
So I'm just going to add, and you know, this is, we need to fill those two spots. And part of, I had a conversation with Stacy, and she's agreed to take on the role of the Susanville representative that John Perry had. So that's a later action to appoint her in that role, which then allows us to open a member at large that can come from any of the three communities. So then I can advertise everywhere for that position. And we put out a parent square for Portola because Christian's spot had been a Portola rep. But Jared, tell me you feel confident that you could find someone there.
I'm so confident.
Oh, wow. Good.
Okay. Start making calls now that you've committed, okay? And we're just, there's so much going on. There are so many reports, so many deadlines. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be talking to you about the Portola office space. Like, it just, I don't turn around without there being something else. And we actually don't meet in November, because there's nothing we really have to do in November. Mm-hmm. But there are so many things that have to be done, so. Here we are.
So let's go to D, since it's not quite 6 o'clock. The program report submitted in writing. Any comments or discussion about any of those?
Any leaders want to pipe in with their reports?
I like the pictures.
Yeah, to this time. Ellie included pictures and Misty included pictures. It's really nice seeing the kids.
Lucinda here was the one of the coaches for cross country. So they just had a little powwow. So she should share about it because it was totally awesome.
We had some kids run cross country this year, and it was the first team sport ever at TPC. It was really fun. The kids enjoyed getting outside, and two of our students had never played any sports before and were super excited about practice, and they're in ready for it next year. So it was really successful and super positive and really fun.
That's really good.
Nice. Yeah.
Really good. I am so happy that TPC got to jump in, that there were some folks who were willing to coach, because that's what you need. You need somebody willing to do that work and participate in that way. So that's fantastic. And you guys had flag football.
We did. Yeah. And the sweetest story ever happened. Terry is like a renowned football coach for the, like, just all over California. And so he recruited Chris, the other teacher here. And one time Terry wasn't able to make it. And so all the football players, it was just Chris coaching, and all the little football players gathered and bought him a whistle because they noticed he didn't have one. And like Chris started like kind of crying because it was like so sweet. And like, it just was truly like a Disney movie. It was so excellent. It was so sweet. They had such a good time. It was great.
I guess we can move on to eight.
Yeah, until he shows up.
So the information items, the plan for the spring testing.
Yes, so we have a lot of testing gearing up. In January, we'll start our winter round of iReady diagnostics. We're going to start not the week we come after break, but the following week, so we can get updated reading and math levels. Then we roll right into LPAC testing. Misty and I have a few kids that will test our English learners. And then we roll into state testing for ELA math and science. And it's looking like physical fitness testing this year is back. It's been postponed the last couple of years because of COVID. So the kids will get to run the mile again. I know they're going to be so excited. and then at the same time as state testing, for those grades not doing the state test, will iReady test those kids again so we can see, hopefully making some growth. So this is just a layout of what we'll do. We'll continue with Camp CASP to kind of prep the kids, you know, get them used to the system and the last final push. And then state testing we're going to do in May this year. Last year, we did it mostly in April, and the kids were done after. So we pushed it a little closer to the end of the school year. So that way, you know, they're not like, oh, school's over. No, we still have 3 weeks left or whatever it was. So we have some makeups built in there in case we need it, but we'll just see how things
are. And ideally, students should know more with another couple weeks.
Right.
Yes. So we'll take it.
Okay, the next item is the assessment results.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to open that PowerPoint.
Yes.
Okay, hang on a second.
Thank you.
Share the right one. This?
Yes. Perfect. So this is just a summary of our testing data so far. So we have our iReady and CASP data in there. So it's broken down by school. So we look at
it directly once I get there.
No worries. Yeah. So the first section is iReady. So just a reminder, that's our diagnostic that we take 2 times a year, 3 for some grades, to test reading and math levels to see where our students are at. During the first diagnostic, we always expect the scores to be a little bit lower because kids are coming back from summer and, you know, there's that dip a little bit. But we hope to see improvement between the fall and winter tests. And we have a new system to track all of the data. Each teacher has an ILP or an individualized learning plan for each student. Not each page, but they have all their roster. And then we track where they tested at, if they're above grade level, at grade level, below. And then if they're below, what are the things that we're doing to help the kids so we can start seeing progress. So if we don't see an increase in scores from fall to winter, then we'll look at, okay, what do we need to adjust? Obviously, what we were doing isn't working, you know, and so we have a variety of programs and interventions that we can tweak to see the kids making progress. So this is just a quick snapshot of the iReady reading scores. I think you have a bigger copy in your board packet itself. This is just kind of a snapshot. So when I look at this, you know, we don't have a lot of green. We want to see more of that. So hopefully when we look in the wintertime, you know, that'll be a much larger chunk. So right now for Long Valley, and this is both sites combined, 18% of our students are on or above grade level. Then we're looking at 32%, or about one grade level below, and then 55 are two or more grade levels below. So.
And this is from the fall test.
This is from the fall
test. Does that take into account the regression?
Right. It does. So.
So that's legitimate, two grades below.
Yeah. Yes. So by winter, I really am hoping to see that red bar, you know, condensed. We're going to have some students below grade level. That's just.
Absolutely.
You know.
If that gap doesn't close, what do we do about it?
Drastically change what we're doing because it's not working then. So
how were we sitting last year in comparison?
So
I know we've had Corona, but let's say an average year, like 19.
I think I have that so further down.
2 years ago.
Yeah. So last year we did the iReady testing. Well, let me take a step back. Last year we did iReady for grades K through six, and we did MAP assessments for 7th through 12th. So I don't have a solid data point to pull because MAPs didn't mesh well with what we were doing.
Well,
so
I guess what I'm asking is this normal for our schools, 55%?
No. Okay. But it's showing that kids are struggling and have not
kicking
learned.
Them out of school for 3 months.
We, right.
And we usually have a bigger yellow bar of one grade level.
Yeah. So the areas that we really need to focus on for reading our comprehension for informational text, so those science, history, that really kind of dense
that is normal.
Information, that is, because
that
that's
is normal.
Where kids struggle. They don't like to read it. It's not
boring.
Right. and then vocabulary. So our kids don't necessarily know the academic vocabulary. So that's an area that we need to focus on. So
and when is the next one coming?
Winter, January.
So it'll be, okay.
So then after that window, I'll present new scores, and then I'll pull up a comparison to see, you know,
right.
if we've made progress. So we're going to really encourage our teachers to more direct instruction, you know, in these specific areas of weakness. The teachers are able to see a whole lot more in-depth info. We're just giving you
advice.
Snapshot.
They can really identify.
Right. So if, you know, let's say Johnny is good in his info text, but not his vocab. Well, we're going to focus on vocab with him, not the other, you know. We have a couple online programs that we're utilizing for interventions. iReady, and then we have iXL this year that the kids are using. So we want to make sure that the teachers are focusing in on those lessons in their weakness, not just, you know, they're learning everything, but we want to target their weaknesses. So, so that's reading.
We want to individualize those programs.
Yeah.
Here's math.
So that's math.
Yeah. So then math, we're looking at 10% or on or above grade level, 32.1, and then 58% two or more grade levels below. So again, like Sherry mentioned, we usually have a bigger yellow bar. It's, you know, the red
bar. The categories are appearing, the lower categories are
so
appearing.
So when we
to
look at
the
strands, this is a breakdown by like algebraic thinking and number sense. So these things are the same,
right.
Just exaggerated.
Yeah. So algebra and algebraic thinking is one of our biggest weaknesses, and then geometry. So we'll make sure that they're hitting those levels. So then if we go to the next slide, that's Thompson Peak. And for both schools, we're actually pretty similar, you know, what our scores are looking like. So a little bit higher on above our grade level for reading. Their middle band is slightly bigger, but again, those two or more grade levels below it's a big chunk.
They're all dealing with the same strands that we need to focus on.
Yeah, so it's complex info, text, and vocab again. So that's helpful then when we're looking school-wide, you know, if we need to find more specific programs or, you know, I can direct them. I can do more trainings in the same areas for...
I feel like geometry hasn't been one, though, in the past. I feel like it... have to check on that.
Yeah,
like
geometry and measurement are always low.
Are they? Okay,
always.
I wasn't sure. Okay.
And part of the issue is book. If you follow the book instead of our standards, the book puts them at the end of the year.
Right.
Yes.
So they don't always, you know,
they don't always
get
to
a whole chunk of it, or they're missing part of it. Yeah. So then if we look at the next slide for math, again, very similar to Long Valley. They're higher, geometry is slightly higher. I mean, it's still those same two strands that are where we need to focus. And so when after we test in January, I'm really hoping to see some improvement. You know, I don't expect the red bar to fully go away, but if we can shift more of those kids into the yellow, then we're showing progress.
Do we report this to the state?
No, this does not.
This is just the
right.
This is our internal.
So it's just the CAS then?
Just the CAS test is what they're saying.
Yeah. And so then that'll be the next section. So we have raw data this year. And last year, the students that tested took a condensed version of the test. So I don't have the domains like we normally do. It's just their overall raw score. So it doesn't tell us, okay, are they weaker in reading or writing, but at least we have a good baseline for us to judge. And then the CAST for the science test, We only had our high schoolers take it last year. It was still optional. So the fifth and eighth graders have a couple more opportunities to take it. So we just focused on getting our 11th graders and then the 12th graders who did not take it previously.
Because we don't really want 12th graders taking that test. Their heart is not in it at that point.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So we got them off the list. So this year it'll just be our 11th. So for Long Valley, overall, these are the English language arts scores. So the very top bar is the total school, and then it breaks down third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and then 11th. So again, our red and yellow are, you know, the not meeting standards.
So the yellow is the
nearly met. Sorry.
Nearly met.
Yes. So red is just not met. Yellow, nearly. Green is at, blue is above. So we can see, you know, some of our younger grades are, you know, they have more students that are not met, but they also, you
which
know,
makes sense.
Have the fourth graders, mm-hmm. this was their first time taking the test because they mm-hmm. didn't take it the year before. So
mm-hmm. Third and fourth. Then,
right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So third is always new, but fourth did not. And so, you know, we have.
And Whitney, I know you grouped this not near the nearly meeting standards and the not met standards.
Yeah, I
probably wouldn't. I break this out as three, you know, the green mm-hmm. and blue are met or exceeded. And then this one nearly met, because a kid who's nearly met maybe only needs one or two more questions right to have met it. So that's an effort we can make.
Yeah, I was too busy flipping back and forth between iReady and CASP, so I apologize for that. But so that's reading, and then math. We struggle in math. 11th grade, that's all, you know, kids only test once in high school, so that's always kind of an area of weakness. But again, those fourth, fifth, you know, they haven't tested in a few years, and this is a good year to be our baseline year, because we can only go,
you know, the state gave us all two extra years to our charter term, and you have to show growth over the last couple years, so we are at least in good shape to have that opportunity, right?
So this does matter to the state if you don't make certain benchmarks.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm.
And then this is the science test. Again, we only tested our 11th graders. So
I think this is pretty good. Yeah. I'm like, hey, that is impressive.
Right? There's not much red on that. So that's what we'd like to see.
Yeah.
And that's testing the new science standards. So,
yeah,
you know,
I'm going to say this board agreed to make it that they needed 3 years of science in high school, because the state only requires two, but we made it three. Because if you don't take it in 11th grade, you've got no recent science knowledge. So I think that that's supported by that action.
Yeah. And then Thompson Peak, for reading, they are a little bit lower than Long Valley. For the red, there's more red and not as much yellow. But there are, you know, fifth grade there, you know, there's a good chunk of kids that are, you know, meeting standards. So there are some positives. I know it's a lot of red and it's very glaring. But again, it's, you know, we know if we start focusing in those areas that iReady is telling us where our kids are weak, you know, hopefully that will help increase.
And again, a lot of that red is lower grades, which kind of makes sense. They're big chunks of red.
Right. Because they haven't, you know, last year was somewhat consistent instruction, but, you know, the year before it was, hey, bye in March, and, you know, we'll see your math. So math is, we need to work on math.
7%.
Can I just make a comment on that too? So we have, if you look at this, right, it's pretty jarring, but we really have, like, third grade, there was probably like a small handful of students that actually tested, right? So we probably had, I think, maybe five third graders. So the data is really, right, looking like.
Yep.
Because on 5 students, right? So do you guys understand what I'm saying?
It's a small sample
group. It's a small sample group, right?
One or two kids can really
see. And that's honestly why I like to look at the LEA line, the top line, because it blends everyone.
And
it's good to look. I wish we had a lot more data, but again, this was a condensed version. The state didn't give us that. In fact, if you go to the state website, we had to go into a different system, download the raw data, and process it so that we could at least have something to look at.
They're not even generating their typical reports. So
if you notice in every one of these, there's something that happens between 8th and 11th grade.
And 5th and 6th.
Mm-hmm. All the 11th grades are big time red for some reason.
They shut down. They're checking out at that point, Sean.
Unless you missed a lot of 10th grade, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been in school, that's for sure.
Well, we've been changing our coursework for the high schoolers, because of course the high schoolers are all independent study.
Right.
And I'm going to say, I'm a math teacher. You don't learn math all by yourself at all. Yeah. You need direct instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more direct instruction going on now because we knew that we just got to bring them in and work.
It could be the issue.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and that supports even just why there's more red overall right now is because the last couple of years there hasn't been that kind of direct instruction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, it was hard enough when they had it. And so 2 years without that is tough.
Yeah. And what's sad is these kids are good. Grow up and they lost their time. Mm-hmm. And it's nobody's fault. It's not here. It made no sense to me.
Yeah, it's tough. So if you can go to the next slide, here's just a comparison over time by each school. So this is ELA. So the first column is 2018-2019 from when we tested, and then this year. Again, keep in mind the test is not quite the same, but at least it gives us an idea of where the kids
So we had a whole year with no testing because the state canceled it and then did this other little one this year. We really felt it was important to do it. A lot of schools opted out. It was optional. But we said, no, we at least need something. Yeah.
Yeah, so broken down by grade and then the overall school.
As I pointed out to Whitney, you can't look across. To me, the school-wide one is the only one I really look at, because the kids who were in third grade in 18-19 would have been fifth grade here.
Mm-hmm.
So you got it, you know, just as you're looking at that. But if I look at the overall, it gives me a better idea of where, how much we've lost between those periods.
Right. And then the next slide will show the math overall. So
huge drops in the math.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't good to begin with.
Right, right.
8%.
Yeah. So this, you know, it really points out where we need to focus and, you know, all, you know, looking with the teachers and the site leaders, you know, okay, how can we help these kids? What do we need to do? And really, if they're not making progress after our next iReady test, okay, we drastically need to change or, you know, tweak something. So
it was one of the reasons I'm super excited that Whitney's been freed up to be the special programs and really take what she knows about SPED, which is obviously not the same for general ed, but some of those techniques for kids that have had learning loss is real applicable. So having a plan for each kid is something new this year. And
yeah, and it's, you know, when I click on each site has a document where we have each teacher tabbed and all their students are listed out. And that, you know, when you click on it, it's very apparent who's doing well and who's not. So, you know, then it's in your face. Okay, what are we going to do with this? Hopefully I have good news for you after our next time.
But you need to know what where we stood right now.
Right.
You know.
Okay, let's go back up to 7C then. I see Matthew is on.
Hey, Matthew, sorry we got rocking and rolling because we were running a little early and now we've made you run late. So
Not a problem at all.
Hey, excellent.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having me here today. I will share my screen if possible. Yes, perfect.
Can you?
Yeah. Let me know when you guys can see it and if it is viewable.
We're seeing it.
Awesome. So today I am here to review our financials through September 30th. So we start our narrative. Well, a couple things I like to focus on here is the cash flow. You can see projected where we are right now. We have a very strong ending cash flow balance with 200 plus days for each individual charter, as well as well over our 10% recommended amount of annual expenditures. So that is very good news. I'd like to kind of skip right down to take a look at the summary. We are at the 25% point of this year. What I like to focus on is what am I expecting to see when I start this and what are results? We see that revenues in both sites are a little lower than the 25%, which is expected. At the beginning of the year, state and federal revenues do tend to lag, especially federal revenues. So to see that number, it is to be expected. And we would see that even out as we progress through the year. When I look at our expenses, we're a little lower than expected on our salaries, but we see a higher than expected amount on books and supplies, as well as our services and operations, which again is something that I expect going into starting this report, because a lot of those services and books and supplies are all front-end expenses, things that we would be spending a lot more through the first quarter or two quarters than we would and as opposed to the second half of the year. Again, we would see that even out over a matter of time. But you can see that both sites, Long Valley is currently at negative 96,000 and Thompson Peak is at negative 71,000. Something to monitor for sure, but not unexpected at this point in the year. I'll move down into a little bit more detailed view. This might be a little small. I know this text is a little small. I can make it bigger if you guys like, and please feel free to interrupt if anyone has any questions or anything you'd like to get a little bit further into. Again, we'll take a look at our federal revenues, and we can see that we did have a little bit more than expected here, but overall, we're operating a little bit less than we would expect at our 16% as opposed to the 25% that we expect if everything was perfectly timed and a flat line. But with our cash flow and our current cash position, that's not something I'm super concerned about, but the overall net outcome is something we definitely want to monitor. Move down into our ones, twos, and threes, which is our salaries and benefits. And as I noted earlier, we are a little bit under where we're currently budgeted. And again, with FIB coming up, that will be the next time I get to visit you guys. When we're giving the first interim budget update in December, we would like to address that and get that to where we feel it's a little bit more even where we would expect it to be.
So I'm going to pipe in for a minute, Matthew. We have a lot of vacant positions, and we have people in other positions filling in those classes where we don't have someone. So in a way, we've been saving money, not that we want to, but we're definitely spending less. Thank you, Matthew.
And that makes sense. I know when we meet and I get updates on Jared's cooking and helping with lunches and Elle working out in the cafeteria, which is great to see the team stepping up, but I know you guys are struggling to fill positions, and that's across the state. That's every partner I work with is in that position right now, unfortunately. I'll briefly take a look here at our books and supplies, as well as services and operations. As I noted, we're a little bit higher than we expect at the 31%, 35%. Overall, this is to be expected. We see a lot more things such as dues and memberships, insurance, materials that are purchased to start the year. If we take a look at our fours right here, a lot higher than we expected if we were, again, looking at it as a straight line, which in real life, that does not apply. So I'll get past the detailed version here. Next up, we have our cash flows. As noted, we're not super worried about the cash position, even including our potential property purchases that are in the works. So cash is in a very stable place. As noted, I always take a look at our days cash on hand and our percentage of expenditures. The state gets a little bit worried if that percentage drops below 3%. And for cash on hand, it's not something they really take a look at, but we always recommend 45 days. As you can see, Long Valley is well above both of those thresholds. And if we move on to Thompson Peak, we can see again, well above those thresholds. So not a major concern for us right now. And lastly, we have our balance sheet. Just something we like to include to make sure that you guys are seeing the ins and outs on the balance sheet side, as opposed to just the income statement. This gives us our cash position and actual number instead of just looking at a chart, as well as any accounts receivable outstanding, which would be monies owed to us, or any potential payables that we have. Was there any questions on that presentation before I move on? Because I do have one more item. All right. One update I do have is in relation to our UAs that were submitted. That is the last page on this document. When going through the UA process, it was discovered that in Thompson Peak, the LCFF revenue was overstated. The situation, after doing some digging, I found out that EPA and in lieu was accrued twice at the end of the year. This overstated the net outcome by $336,000. So when this data was brought to you, you were shown a net outcome for Thompson Peak of $871K in net profit, when in reality it was $535K. This item has been updated with both the authorizers and the audit team, so it should not cause any issues moving forward. And I've also had an internal discussion with my team as to how we can make sure that something like this is not going to happen again moving forward. I unfortunately wasn't involved in that process, so I don't want to speculate, but it's not something that I find acceptable. And so I offer my apologies for that miscommunication.
And so I'm going to add that what you have here, information item 8D, was just to bring you up to speed. We resubmitted the unaudited actual reports that you had seen previously. So these are the updated versions. I asked Matthew to just do this little summary so it was easier to see, but the whole reports are there in D so that you see the corrected numbers. And thank you, Matthew.
Of course. Did anyone on the board have any questions or comments, concerns?
Susan Bill, okay? I can't see your faces closely to see if you're scrunched up, being concerned. All good. Thank you.
We're good.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So now we'll go back to section 8C, the Educator Effectiveness Funds Plan.
Yep. Just another plan. So this plan required it to be explained and presented at this meeting, and then next month you'll adopt it. So let me share that document.
And
getting
the fly?
Yeah.
No, I know.
Show me one.
Yeah.
She brought it in with her.
You're blaming me. That's nice. I don't know where it came from.
The horses that are right next to my room because I still have flies. Yeah, I thought it was cold enough. But.
Finally. Okay, thank you for keeping each other busy while I was pulling this up. Now, to there so you guys are looking at it. Resume share. So, is everyone out in Zoom land seeing that screen? Thank you, Jared. All right, so
Educator Effectiveness Funds. We are, the state has determined what kind of money they're giving us, like 5 years, well, 4 years to spend it. And they gave us very specific purposes of what it could be spent on. So I did a survey with staff to find out where their heads were in this, because I really wanted their input. And there are some things that they highly rated, you know, like helping with learning loss for students, you know, them getting more training to help with learning loss. But what they don't realize is we've already used like the ELO funds and ESSER funds for that purpose. So we really need to identify another purpose for the educator effectiveness funds. And this is what I've drafted. I really can't read it so good. So the planned use, Long Valley will get $72,667 to use over that time. And we have teachers and administrators that end up in credential clearing, induction kind of programs. And those are pretty costly. So instead of using general fund monies, we can pay for those out of these funds. And I'm proposing that we take our educators who are working on their teacher credentialing. So we get some staff that get a very temporary type permit and have to be in a program for 2 years. And I'm suggesting we use some money and reimburse some of their costs because we really want them to be doing this. And same thing, I put in paraeducator to teacher. We have some great paras that if they were willing, we can help support them taking college classes, because once they can get to a bachelor's degree, then they can start working with a temporary certificate. And I just said, if it's on both schools, I just think there's so many competent folks that it would benefit us. Kind of a growing your own program, because getting our own teachers would be slick. And then I'm suggesting we just take a chunk of money and say, because everyone's really stressed is what I will say. So for those teachers who maybe want to learn some new strategies for teaching math to improve that, they can choose that, and this pot of money will pay for those kind of trainings that they can select. Questions, anyone on that? And then Thompson Peak, we did the same thing, and we had the same kind of issue where some of the things they thought were really important are already being addressed through some of the other grants. So they are, Thompson Peak is looking at $38,290. And it does, it was based on the number of certificated folk at each school. So Long Valley has, between Portola and Doyle, definitely has double the number that Thompson Peak has. So that's how that number comes up. So again, teacher and administrator induction programs, money to reimburse some teachers for clearing their credentials, for paras, and there's way fewer paras there. I'm hoping they'll take advantage of it. And then the pot of money for the staff training.
Sherry, the if a teacher came to the school or we hired a para, would they be able to then obtain these funds, or is $3,000 per year? I'm looking at the para educator to teacher amount. Is this per year or per the life from spring 2020 to spring 2026?
Right now, that's for the life. And I put a much smaller number in. Matthew will correct me if I'm wrong, but nothing would stop us if we have more interest from redoing a new plan, shifting money from other categories.
Okay.
Matthew, we can redo our plan in the future if we find that we need one category as opposed to another, right?
Yeah, I think this is just going to be a general outline to show the state what we plan on using the grant for. When it comes down to the actual expenses, I wouldn't imagine they would hold you to this over a four-year period, that we'd be able to update it as we see a better use of the money.
And so, Stacy, I'm going to guess that you're interested in looking at this Thompson Peak one. I think today was to explain it. Next month is to approve it. So if you and Kelly and staff there say, let's put more money over here, we can make that adjustment before we put it up for approval.
Yeah. Hi, it's Lucinda. appreciate the opportunity to speak to you guys today. It's an honor to work here and to be part of this team. It's great. I don't want to be anywhere else. That being said, the reason that I am in school in a credentialing program is to be here at Thompson Peak. My children are students here. I believe in the program. It's changed the lives and the learning of my children dramatically, and I love it. I'm not great. I have actually gone to be a 80% employee, so I can have work and have a family and go to school. So keeping this job has been a sacrifice, a worthy one, but a sacrifice. I'm taking the credentialing program through Cal State Teach, and my first of three semesters, was about $4,500. And then next semester is going to be about $3,500 the next two semesters. So I can't even tell you how amazing it is that you guys are even considering this reimbursement program. With all of the data that I've heard this evening, the statistics and the loss of learning, what we're trying to recoup and teach our students, I am learning how to do with technology, with social emotional learning, which is a huge component of what we're trying to teach right now. I'm learning the newest theories behind what we're all going through. And I think it's so amazing the things that I'm learning and that new modern technology and modern teaching style. And it would really benefit our schools a lot. And I thank you for your time.
I'll say thank you.
So would we consider like some kind of a memorandum of understanding or a contract of some sort, and for like, let's say we help a paraeducator become a teacher, and would there be something to keep that in place?
Okay. You had approved that, you know, when we're paying for that kind of thing,
right?
That there's an equivalent amount of time afterwards, or they need to repay it.
Right.
Perfect. Yep.
Good.
Is that it?
So that's it on this item.
So the next item is the updated unaudited actuals.
So those are just Matthew presented that to you. These are just the detailed reports that we had to submit so that you saw them.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. And then the update on the Portola office space.
So when it rains, it pours, right? You know, we're working with USDA on the purchase of the Paiute property, and that's moving actually quite nicely.
Okay.
We have this property purchase that's chugging. I really think for both properties, we're probably within 3 months of being able to close.
Okay.
And then the owner of the building we lease for office spaces in Portola approached me last week to say, we're ready to sell and we would discount it for you guys if you were interested in buying. So I told them that I told him that I would come to the board and see if there's any interest in pursuing any of that. I definitely know it's not an action item here, but I wanted to get a sense of what you might be thinking. And I obviously have some thoughts that I'd like to share.
Would it be about the same amount of money, the lease versus buy?
So it would be, I think it would cost us more.
More to buy?
Okay. More to buy. And, you know, we're in a boat in Portola where when we go to renew, Plumas Unified School District has to, in writing, say we have their permission to be there. That may not happen. So there's greater risk. We bought that one building for $80,000, which we can use to store stuff if we had to close those offices. So I felt good about that space. This space I'm not quite sold on with the expense and lack of parking with that building, which is why we bought that other building so that we had the parking. Jared, do you have any comments?
So I guess the biggest indicator would be I didn't tell her, I didn't push immediately to jump to buy it, right? Which is a pretty big indication. Because it's not perfect, right? And the parking's awkward and we're all kind of just sparsed out. But then on the other hand, if somebody buys it and says, we don't want you to lease anymore, where would we go? So
I did, when I was on the phone with our USDA rep, I mentioned this to him because I wanted to see what his response would be. And his first question was, well, how many kids do you have over there? And I said, close to 100. And he's like, you do? Really? So he didn't like shut it down like there's no way we can talk about that.
What's Lisa?
2023, the end of 2023. That was our original.
And that's about when we'll know if they'll redo the charter. Right?
I am actually, the hope I have is their superintendent is leaving at the end of this year. And so we'll know by then who comes in new if they're being cooperative and have a sense. Right now, no way.
Is the current one is not working?
No way. And the current makeup of the board is in no way.
We're not in a rush either.
We're not in a rush.
And they can't sell it as long as we're still in our lease, right?
They can sell it. But first of all, I would say a new owner is not going to be stupid. In Portola, you've got all those units are leased long term. I don't think they're going to kick us out. Okay, anybody have a different thought or opinion they want to throw out for me? Okay.
And then what about the progress on the new space? Didn't it say that we were waiting for the air conditioners or something to be
done? Jared, did they come in? I thought they were supposed to come in on the 15th Monday.
So on the 15th, he emailed me and said he just got an update that said they're being trucked out of LA finally. So I assume they're in that whole lineup of backlog there.
So they've made it off of a boat. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
So they're still not in our area yet.
I mean, I think that one's beyond
all of our control.
Yeah.
Right. Whitney works in that building without heat.
I have a little heater under my desk, but I shut the door that I could. It's not bad. I need blinds, though. I just haven't had a chance to get any because the sun is so bright in the morning. I can't quite see my computer.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's on my list, but I'm not there enough to, you know, worry about it right now.
We should talk to the site administrator to get them ordered.
Oh, I do. Okay. Every time I go over there, I'm like, hey, Jared, what's the status of this? Or what's the, you know, he loves it when I come over there.
Jared, you are at your desk. Is it on the list?
Okay. There'll be a permanent one next time I come.
Sharpie.
A big rock and chisel.
That next item I just included, Patty Gunderson,
right.
You know, LCOE reviews the unaudited actuals and then returns a letter. So they gave us letters that everything was
good. Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so on to the action items. Item A, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the stipend for the administrative designee.
Move to approve.
I'll second. All in favor by roll. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Item B, discussion and possible action regarding approval of leases for two copiers for TPC. Approval by roll, Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Item C, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updated Long Valley Charter School Governing Board bylaws to include a pupil member and the method for removal of members.
I had a question on this one. I didn't get a chance to look at the language of removal of members.
Uh-huh.
Just give me a synopsis.
Yep. So the attorney, when she was helping me with adding the pupil member, she did a complete review of the bylaws. And the method for removing a member was old and not up to date anymore to follow the government code.
Yeah.
And what she explained was that if we want to remove a member for whatever reason, we have to get the approval of the electorate. So we have to ask the stakeholders.
That was the old?
No.
Well, that's the new.
That's the new.
Oh.
So before it was just a board vote, but it needs to include stakeholders' voice in making that removal.
Vote to approve.
Is there any way we could postpone this until next month? Because I know I just haven't read through it the way I should have. Or I don't know. If nobody else wants to, then that's fine too. We can vote on it. But I know Sean said that he hadn't looked at it either. Not to throw you under the bus, Sean.
So here's what I want to throw out to you guys. In order to not pay real estate taxes on the buildings as we're buying them, we needed to update our Articles of Incorporation. To have different, that's what Matthew's team helped us finally figure out why they weren't approving it. And when you do that, you need to also have your bylaws updated. So if we postpone, we're just in a boat of pushing that off and still having to pay real estate taxes right now, just in Portola, but we're having to pay them because we
okay.
don't have
to. So then we can vote on it.
And if you need again next month to edit it, because there's something you see that you have a question on, but this is done with our attorneys.
No, that's fine. I didn't understand the urgency, but you explained it. And so, yes, we should.
Thank you.
So I made a motion.
Okay, so Sean made the motion to approve as stated. I'll second. Approval by roll, Sean?
Aye.
Wilma? Aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Item D, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updated safety plan. I'll second. Roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Discussion and possible action regarding approval of contract with Caltrans for the temporary easement at 217 East Sierra Street in Portola. I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Sean, second. Approval by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Item F, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the updated board policy number 601, attendance.
Which you do not have. I've not been able to get it back from the attorney.
Okay.
So can we let it die for lack of a motion at this point?
Okay. Item G, discussion and possible action regarding approval of restatement of articles of incorporation.
Move to approve.
I'll second. Approval by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Item H, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the updated organizational chart.
Move to approve.
I'll second. Approval by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Item I, discussion and possible action regarding approval of resolution 2021-22-01, Department of General Services for surplus property.
Move to approve.
I'll second. Approval by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Item J, discussion and possible action regarding approval of enrollment period designation for 2021-2022.
Move to approve.
I second.
Approval by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Item K, discussion and possible action regarding approval of changing the governing board member Stacy Kirkland's designated seat from at-large member to Susanville representative with the term expiring December 31st, 2024. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor by roll, Sean.
Aye.
Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Okay, future items. So we'll add the
attendance item policy. E,
yeah. And then future items will be the board appointment.
Hopefully, we have applicants.
Right. Well, Jared said he's got one for Portola, right?
That's right. He's got a high degree of confidence.
COVID-19 safety plan update and to. Your effectiveness funds plan that we went over.
Right.
Anything else? Okay, we'll adjourn at, is that close, right?
I got 6:48.
There. 6:48. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
To the old member of their grasshopper.
Bye.